keep on looking at wisdom books a little bit, maybe a couple more weeks. But we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes today. Ecclesiastes is a book for deep thinkers. People who like to think deep and look into something, thoughts that's being said deep. Sometimes I read Ecclesiastes, as simple a book as it is, and I get confused. Because he'll tell you all his vanity, then he'll say, let's enjoy what we got. So let's we'll take a look at some of this today. And last week we were looking at Psalms chapter 26 and Psalms 51, and we looked at the difference when David was, I guess, when things was going pretty well and he was doing it right. He was looking at not being accused of killing a king. So then he turns right around and he's the one that's guilty. And the whole song kind of turns different. And where he's used 13 times, I, in 26, the whole thought of it changes. He realizes his sinfulness and that he's and his own righteousness. But let's look at, we're going to look today at vanity. We'll look at the word a little bit. Vanity, vain, empty. And we're going to look at this word and look at some of the things about it. And we're going to look at the vanity of selfish living, the vanity of dedication to pleasure, the vanity of coveting what you do not have, the vanity of becoming famous, the vanity of labor and work, the vanity of ambition, the vanity of preparing for the future, the vanity of hoarding money, the vanity of worldly wisdom, and the vanity of optimism. And it sounds like all these things, you know, man, I should be doing these things. But as I've read Ecclesiastes and look at it, Solomon, if there was ever a man that's seeking pleasure in this world, if you look at the things they seek pleasure for, money, wealth, wisdom, knowledge, sex, women, Solomon had it all. And he turns around and said it's a vanity and it's vexation of spirit. And let's look at the vanity. Let's look first, and this won't be in any chronological order by the book. We'll just take it as it goes here. The vanity of selfish living. And that's in Ecclesiastes 4:7. Let me get there myself. I get to talking, can't find my pages. Let's look at, I may read the same verse maybe a couple times during the lesson, but let's look at 4:4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. And Job used an expression similar to that. And Job said, if I had kissed my hand, otherwise look at me, what I'm doing. And you'd be shocked at the people that really think they've arrived. They think they're something. They think they're God's gift to the country, when they're not. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is also sore travail. How many times have we seen and heard of people who they've went in and found older people who've starved themselves to death and eaten dog food with thousands of dollars in their house? Now, that's a fact. Greed. And that's what takes America most of the time is greed. But in here in 4:7, then I turned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. He's just working himself to get more and to get more and to get more. For what reason? And what I'm saying here, two are better than one. Right? His labor, neither is I satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. But a man who lives selfishly most of the time wants to be alone. He don't want to spend his money on... Hey, I hear this a lot. Now stop and think. I hear a lot of times people saying the reason, you know, I'm glad I don't have kids. I'm glad I don't have this. You know, selfish living. Now, I'm going to move on, but Proverbs 21:9 and 21:19, I think, are pretty well in contrast to that. They're talking about it's better to be in the corner of a rooftop than in the house with a brawling woman. So there's two ways of looking at it sometimes. But we'll move on, not get in trouble there. So let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:6, the vanity of dedication to pleasure. In 7:6, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Now, if you just stop and think, why would you say the crackling? It's just a quick little pop, fires out. How fast do twigs burn? You build a fire with brush, it ain't going to last long. It's gone. The laughter of a fool don't last very long. Secret of pleasure. All right? Surely, verse 7, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. All that's good wisdom that we're looking at there. But look at in 6:7. Dedication to pleasure, still on that topic. In verse 6, yea, though he lived 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. When is enough? You see what I was saying a while ago? A lot of times people, they're a poor mouth when they got everything in this world. That they need. Serious. You hear it all the time. Oh, I just can't. Come on. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? All the labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. We'll come back to that verse in just a minute. But that's a different one. And then, a man's appetite is not filled. Now, like I say, this book, Ecclesiastes, is a deep thinker's book. You get into there and you can get to meditating. And what in life is pleasurable to us? Just like we were looking, the vanity of selfish living, of dedication to pleasure. There's a lot of things that I guess, not patting myself on the back, I've learned to enjoy just seeing children play, don't you? Just watching a little kid that don't have seems like a care in this world, running, playing, having fun. Because we know what's later going to befall them. I've learned to enjoy God's creation. As Ed could tell you, there's nothing better than the flounder on the end of a fishing rod. That feeling. Those simple things in life can bring pleasure. But a lot of people think that pleasure comes from the appetite of the flesh. And that's never satisfied. If you feed the flesh one drink, what's it want? Another one. And goes on and on till it condemns the man. Now let's look at another one. It's coveting what you do not have. It's vanity. Coveting what you... look at 6:9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may be contend with him that is mightier than he. Better is the sight of the eyes, being satisfied with what you have. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, as the old saying is. Than a wandering of the appetite and the eyes, wanting more. And don't we? Hey, that's flesh, and we all have it. Don't we look around at somebody else and think, man, I'd like to have one like that. You do it, and you think of all the ways you can enjoy it, but. We're to be satisfied, according to what God says, therewith to be content with what God has given us. Amen? He gives us joy. God gives us joy that you can't explain to a lost man who desires the world. You can't explain that. A man who can get up and walk out in his yard in the morning and communicate with God and look out over God's creation and enjoy fellowship with Him and being content of where God has placed him and what God has done for him. So be intent, content. Coveting what you do not have, it's vanity. And the vanity of becoming famous. 9:15. Verse 13. This wisdom have I seen under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Otherwise, the stupid voter, as you heard this week, if you've been watching Fox News, you've been seeing some of that. I'm making that a part of the lesson, because that's the way they look at the poor man. He's stupid. That's it. But I guess they showed them. They could do a little thinking. Anyway, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Colossians 2:3. I want you to look at a man is seeking knowledge and wisdom needs to know where it's at. Needs to know where verse 2. Well, let me just read verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. I tell you, you take a group of people who's knit together in love and understands the mystery. What is the mystery of the Trinity? For God was manifest in the flesh. Christ being manifest in the flesh. In whom are hid, now watch this, in verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you. A man that's wanting knowledge and wisdom, where's he going to find it? It's hid in Christ. The man's fleshly appetite is never filled. But a man that has peace of God and peace with God is a content man. When he realizes that's what he has, he's a content man. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where it's at. Now let's look at this one. This one is, like I said, Ecclesiastes is for a deep thinker. And sometimes I wonder about these things. I enjoyed studying this and looking at it. And I thought about all the times that I work 16 hours a day, except for Sunday, and then go back at it again the next week. And you know what? Who cares now? It's all vanity, isn't it? This book says it's vanity, it's vanity. Well, a man earns his bread with the sweat of his brow. Well, let's just... The vanity of labor and work. And let's go back to 1:3. Ecclesiastes 1:3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, is Solomon, hey, start thinking deep. Is Solomon having some depression? No, I think God woke him up to what real happiness is, real joy is. We'll look at some more of these places next week and look at it from a different side. But vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also, I want you to look at this and what he says here. I've read so fast through these before that I didn't even see the labor of the universe. Look at this. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place wherein he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. He's telling us something. Even the labor of that. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Man's the same way, ain't he? All things are full of labor. You see that? After he said all this, he said, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. As David said, these things are too high for me. I can't understand it. And the psalmist said, look at it. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene with a new thing. But it's not new. It's from the beginning. The thing that hath been, is it that which shall be? And that which is done, is that which shall be done? And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. As I said 2 weeks ago, no generation from beginning has been able to pass on to the next generation a cure for poverty, a means to peace. It hasn't happened. Why? It's vanity. Man's flesh. Why? James said, why do we war? He said, because of the flesh you desire to have that you don't have. No generation has passed on to the next generation. And I don't see this generation passing on to the next generation any cures, do you? It rains on the just as well as the unjust. There's only one cure for this old world, and that's a new life in Christ. And being seated in Him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2, for in Him are hid all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. And you see, you're complete in Him. That's the only way you're perfect. That's the only cure. Psalms 39:5. I tell you, if we can't listen to Solomon about these things, he had all these things and they didn't bring him peace of mind, did they? Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. When you get to thinking you've arrived and you've done something, read that verse. At your best state, you're altogether vanity. Now, there's a contrast to this. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. When we start looking at ourselves outside of Christ, it's vanity. When we start looking at ourselves in Christ, we're more than conquerors. We're more than somebody that just took a city. We're more than a conqueror. Because we're in Him. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4:4. The vanity of ambition. Some of these we've already read, and we'll read them again. Again, I considered all the travail and every right work, and for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than both the hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one. And we read that a while ago. But the vanity of ambition. Ambition, you know, like I said, this is a deep thinker's book. You want a young person to set a goal. Did you ever set goals in your life? I bet you did when you was in the military. I want this rank before I meet this time. I've got an ambition. Ambitions can be good. But when it comes down to it, it's vanity. Even when we get there. I have seen things in my life that I was looking so forward to accomplishing, then accomplished it and thought, was this what I worked so hard for? Huh? I told you the story, and I repeat a lot of things, and you teach 20 years or so, you're going to. But I had goals on my job. You did too. Might have been just to make it or succeed or just to keep the job. But anyway, you had a goal. But I'll never forget being involved down there at the plant in this situation of being able to save them a lot of money. Invested $25,000 of their money and saved them for what they... Not, I was going to buy a Cadillac and bought a Chevrolet. No, what money they spent the previous year. They didn't spend it all the next year. It was $360,000. Never spent that the next year. So I was sitting in this meeting and their long arms was patting you on the back. You know how that goes. And you'll get into that. Anybody will. But when I left that double-wide trailer where we were having that meeting and walked out, there's a man who had stood in that parking lot on the asphalt. I don't know how long he had stood there in the heat waiting for me to come out of there so he could ask me to pray for his wife and thank me for being a Christian. And living for God around him. And that to me, folks, that was such an eye-opener. It busted that big bubble they created. It's just like took a big darning needle and poked right in that big bubble. It's vanity. Next time you lose that money, they'll be calling you in there to fire you. They'll forget it. But God was telling me, in that little illustration there, this is what's important. He said, I want you to pray for her. He had to leave the job because his wife had cancer. He's going to have to go home and take care of her. And he was wanting me to pray and thanking me for the life that I had lived around him and the help that I'd been to him. That was vanity. The other stuff is vanity, folks. What we accomplish in this world, and I'm not saying don't go after it. I'm not telling, hey, if your child is involved in a place of work, go for the best. As I tell Brian Sides, don't work from the neck down. Work from the neck up. That ambition, I'll tell for those good things, but when it comes right down to it, and you're laying down there in that hospital bed, and you're looking back on your life, what you've done for others will come to your mind. The rest of it's vanity, folks. You're going to keep only what you've sent over, not what you've hoarded. It's vanity. It's vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, that's discouraging, isn't it? I'm not trying to be discouraging. I just want you to be happy when you get up in the morning and you walk out there in the yard and that cool breeze hits you in the face and you thank God for your health and you look at the wind blowing in the trees and you say, thank you, God, for this creation. Being able to enjoy the simple things in life. A man that has a lot, what's he want? A lot more. I got to move on. The vanity of preparing for the future. 2:26. Now, don't get angry at me. I didn't write this. God did. He said it was vanity. It's vanity. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. I'm in chapter Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. And when we look at this, let's turn to Job 9:22. Job goes through a lot of these are wisdom books. Job goes through a lot of this. I want to start reading that in verse 19. I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. Enough of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul, I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. Now, did that not make it vanity? All is vanity. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges. Thereof, if not, wherein who is he? If God don't do it, he's sinned, then who done it? Now, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships of the eagle that hasteth to prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. We could go on with that. But as I sat and talked with Brother Ernest this week and looked at both of us, and we kind of laughed and had a little fun, but age is not fun, is it? And it's coming on every one of us just like as the sun as they hasteth to the place it returned. Every day you're older and weaker. And as I looked at him and thought about the days we knocked on doors together and done things together and looked at things together and saw how the age has got both of us. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's what Solomon is saying. Let me move on pretty quickly. And we may look at some of these a little bit more. The vanity of hoarding money. And Job 31, Job lists the points of judgment. And he said, if I have made gold my hope, or fine gold my confidence, or he said, if I have looked at what I've done and kissed my hand and said, man, look what I've done. Job said he hadn't done that. Because he knew, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You want this lesson to be a bright lesson? Don't look at yourself in this world. Look at yourself in Christ. Right? When we look at ourselves in Christ and the gifts that He's given us, but we can look at, we can also. I was going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and read about all of it, but we'll end by going to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, chapter 12. After Solomon looks at all this deep thought, I can't express it. I mean, I've probably really booted this lesson by trying to do some of the things I've said in it. But after Solomon has given such deep thought and placed to this, he said, verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. You see that? He found the place where stuff was upright, and that which was written. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the master's assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After he said all this philosophy, all this deep thought, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The conclusion of the whole matter is, folks, it's vanity, except in the Lord. And that whatever we... Now, I don't have time. I'll finish some of this next week. Solomon says right in this writing, he says right in here that God will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. That's what he said. The righteous will be judged. All right? He said, so let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That should be everything that's on our mind, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. it's a tough book. Read it a lot this week. Maybe you'll come up with something and share with me and help me out. It's a little too deep for me. But when you have a man like Solomon, who had everything that flesh could desire, and he turned and said, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Lord, thank You for this day You've given us, and thank You for our Bible. And we pray, God, that You'll be with us in the next hour and be with our preacher. And if there's anyone that's lost, we pray, God, that You'll touch their hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.